From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. In eastern Ukraine, pro-Russian activists have freed the 7 European military observers they've been holding hostage in Slavyansk for more than a week. Meanwhile, Ukrainian forces are carrying out an operation to regain control of key government buildings and TV stations occupied by pro-Russian separatists. And as NPR's Soraya Sahardi-Nelson reports, much of the fighting is concentrated in an industrial city not far from Slavyansk.
Ukrainian officials say they've retaken the state security building and TV transmitter tower in Krematorsk, so Russian TV is no longer being broadcast there. That's important to the Kiev government because they believe the Kremlin is stirring up separatist sentiment, something that Moscow denies. In Krematorsk, Ukrainian troops broke through a barricade of tractor trailers that separatists set up to block the main road into the city. Some of the pro-Russian fighters there include more professional-looking soldiers with automatic weapons. Ukrainian officials accuse the separatists of hiring professional mercenaries. Soraya Sahardi-Nelson, NPR News, Donetsk.
In this week's political media addresses, Republicans push for more sanctions against Russia over the unrest in Ukraine, and President Obama hits back at the GOP over the economy. NPR's Giles Snyder reports.
President Obama is critical of congressional Republicans for blocking a minimum wage increase and other parts of his economic agenda.
As long as Republicans in Congress refuse to act, I'll keep working with cities, states, and businesses to give more Americans a raise.
Speaking in his weekly address, Obama said he's taken more than 20 executive actions since January that he says will help American workers. In the GOP address, Senator Marco Rubio of Florida said foreign policy is an important part of domestic policy.
Our economic well-being is deeply dependent on our national security.
Rubio took up Republican calls for tougher sanctions on Russia. Giles Snyder, NPR News, Washington.
At least 3 people are dead after 2 explosions in the port city of Mombasa in Kenya. The BBC's Risto Pico has more.
The Kenyan authorities say the first blast took place near the center of the city, where a passenger let off a grenade in a bus, killing 3 people. At least 6 others were taken to hospital. The other target was a resort hotel near the coast, but no casualties have been reported from there. There are also reports of a 3rd attempted bombing. Explosives were left at a cinema, but didn't go off. The authorities have blamed earlier attacks on the militant group Al-Shabaab, which Kenyan troops are fighting in neighboring Somalia.
The BBC's Risto Pico. Vice President Joe Biden says immigration is crucial to American innovation. At a graduation ceremony at Miami-Dade College in South Florida this morning, Biden says the U.S. has to bring 11 million people living in the U.S. illegally out of the shadows and put them on a path to citizenship. Pre-race favorite California Chrome won the 140th Kentucky Derby today. This is NPR News. Transit officials in New York City say a piece of rail that was damaged yesterday, causing a subway train to derail, was installed just a couple of weeks ago. 19 people were injured, 4 seriously. The Metropolitan Transit Authority says other rails from that shipment will now be inspected. 500 feet of rail has to be repaired. In a patent infringement case between Apple and Google, a mixed decision. A jury says both sides infringed on each other and neither side got all the damages it wanted. But as NPR's Laura Seidel reports, the battle between the two tech giants is likely to continue.
Apple asked for a whopping $2.2 billion in damages. It got about $120 million. Samsung asked for a few million. It got about $158,000. But it is a bigger victory for Samsung because Apple has portrayed the company as a copycat, not innovative. Now Samsung can say it's got winning patents. This is just the latest skirmish in a battle between these companies that has been dragged out in courts around the world. But Samsung and many observers argued this trial was actually about Google. Its Android operating system was used in the phones and tablets at issue. Former Apple founder and CEO Steve Jobs declared thermonuclear war on Google and Android, vowing to spend Apple's last dime to fight it. In this case, there will likely be appeals from both sides. Laura Seidel, NPR News, San Francisco.
The longest-serving congressman in Minnesota has died. Jim Oberstar, a Democrat, served northeastern Minnesota for 36 years before narrowly losing that office to a Republican in 2010. He died unexpectedly this morning at his home in suburban Washington, D.C. He was 79 years old. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.